Welcome to the podcast. Jeff Wolf is a revivalist, author, and the founder and president of Resurgence, a Cincinnati-based nonprofit organization on a mission to minister to the ministry. We're so glad to have you today. Here's Jeff.
Hey, everybody. Are you ready for the word today? I want to share with you, continuing on the topic of becoming. You are becoming what God has called you to be, made you to be, and equipped you to be, and you cannot ignore the becoming process. We've been talking about Joseph in Genesis 37 and then 39, and I want to kind of go to the end of chapter 39 and pick up where we left off. Joseph is in Potiphar's house. Things are going well. He's in charge of all of Potiphar's affairs. He has been favored by this man who has hired him or taken him to be in his house as a servant. He has been promoted. He has been trusted with everything under Potiphar's care, to the point where Potiphar didn't have to worry about anything other than what he would have to eat. Now, sometimes that's the hardest decision to make, isn't it? But something happened. A temptation came, and you know the story, that at the end of chapter 39 of Genesis, this is what the word said, beginning in verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties. Sometimes you're just doing what you're supposed to do. Sometimes you're just doing the right thing, and temptation comes. None of the household servants were inside. And she, being Potiphar's wife, caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. That's the best way to deal with temptation, is to run. Verse 13, when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants and she concocted this lie. Listen to this. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in to lie with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." This lie was concocted to bring retribution on Joseph. I think you and I can probably both identify with being lied about, with rumors being started in which you were the subject. I heard one just yesterday about me. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But that's what the enemy does. Just when you are feeling like you are in the spot God made you, along comes someone to open their mouth and make something up or repeat something that's been made up about you. And the thing about that is, when you hear a lie about yourself, you are the one that should know above every other person that hears or repeats the lie that it's not true. You know you, and you know what you've done, and you know what you've said, and you know what you haven't done and what you haven't said. And so when someone repeats a lie to you, you know more than anybody else that it's a lie. But we still take that and we let it fester and we let it build up and we let it make us angry and we begin to get defensive. That's how the enemy works with us. He doesn't really care if anybody else believes the lie about you. He just wants you to be tormented by the lie about you. Think about that for a moment. The devil doesn't care if anyone believes the lie about you. That is not his objective. He wants you to be tormented by the lie that's been spread about you. Verse 16, she kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me.' He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison," I'm going to stop in mid-sentence in this verse and say something to you. I know you can identify with this. I've felt this in my own personal walk with the Lord. Joseph's entire story in the chapter 37 of Genesis begins with a dream, a vision, something that God planted in his heart that would eventually come to pass, by the way. What Joseph dreamed and repeated to his brothers, it came to be. That's where we're headed in this story. You know it well if you've been a student of Scripture at all in your life and your walk with the Lord. His entire journey began with a vision, but from the moment he acknowledged that vision, that dream, his life began to go on a trajectory in the opposite direction from what the dream suggested. That is one of the hardest things to deal with when you are trying to seek the plan and the purpose and the destiny of God for your life. Knowing what you've seen on the inside of you, knowing what your heart says, what your head says, what your spirit says, that God has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a trajectory for my life, there is a direction in which I'm going, then suddenly the circumstances of life begin to go off on what seems like a detour in the opposite direction. Joseph had a dream of being a ruler, to be a person of authority in which others would serve him. Yet he found himself in the bottom of a pit that his brothers dug for him. Not the enemy, not whom he perceived to be the enemy, but his brothers. Joseph had a dream of greatness, of royalty. Yet he found himself as a slave in Potiphar's house. Joseph had a dream and a vision of things that were bigger than him, opportunities that would never be afforded to him by his own clan. Yet now he finds himself in prison. And the longer time goes on, Joseph is not getting closer to his vision. He's getting farther away from his vision. He is going what seems to be, to the mind and the heart of man, to be the opposite direction of where God said he was taking him. I've experienced that. I know what that feels like, and I believe you do too, to know or at least believe that you have a divine purpose and destiny. You've seen the vision that God's given you. You know you can see it in your mind's eye where you want to go, where you want to be, what you believe God has for you. But every time you turn around, you're headed in the opposite direction. Not because of your own problems and your own mistakes, but because you have been, by the circumstances of life, by the fallen society around us, by whoever might be pulling the strings of your life right now, you have been feeling like you're going the opposite direction, and you keep getting deeper and deeper and farther down when you believe God is trying to lift you up. That's where Joseph is. You can imagine what Joseph may have felt like when he was in the bottom of that cold, wet pit that his brothers put him in. Lord, this is not what I saw in my dream. Have you ever said that to the Lord? When you were in the middle of a trial, when you were in the middle of a crisis, and you said to the Lord, this is not what I saw in my dream. How do I reconcile that? How do you reconcile what God has said with what you are experiencing? How do you do that? God, this is not what I saw in my dream. I didn't see this crisis in my dream. And then he gets sold into slavery, pulled out of the pit, taken to Egypt. He finds himself a slave in Potiphar's house. And again, I can hear Joseph's thought process. God, this is not the direction I'm supposed to be going. And then he finds himself just doing what he was supposed to do. He was elevated, and he was shown favor by Potiphar, and Potiphar put him in charge. He promoted him. He trusted him. Why? Because Joseph was a good man. He was anointed man. He was a man upon whom the favor of God rested, and even when he was where he didn't want to be, God still promoted him. And he began to carry out his duties in Potiphar's house, just doing what he was supposed to do. You see, Joseph's dilemma, his descent into slavery and then into prison, was not because of a mistake in which he deserved punishment. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. You can do everything right, my friend, and still feel like you are going in the opposite direction of your destiny. You can make every decision prayerfully and thoughtfully and still experience what seems like the opposite trajectory of what God has placed in your heart. But don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Look what happens. This verse where I stopped. Listen. Verse 20. But while Joseph was there in prison. You know what that says to me? I haven't even finished reading it. The second part of that sentence is actually the first part of verse 21. The Lord was with him. But while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him and was working on his behalf. I want to encourage you today that if you are in the pit, while you are in the pit, God is working on your behalf. If you are in Potiphar's house, as it were, and you feel like you are a slave to the dream of somebody else, while you are in that palace, God is with you and he's working on your behalf. While you are in the prison of expectations, the prison of someone else's perception, the prison of your own mind, while you are there, God is with you and he is working on your behalf. Verse 21 goes on to say that God showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. God doesn't care where you are. Let me finish my sentence. He doesn't care whether you're in the pit, whether you're in somebody's palace and you are a slave to someone else's dream. He doesn't care whether you're in prison or the lowest you can be. You cannot run far enough. You cannot sink deep enough. You cannot fall hard enough that God is not right there where you are. And his ability to work on your behalf does not depend upon the circumstances that are going on around you, because even in the prison, God was there. God gave Joseph favor with the prison warden. And guess what? He was promoted. And the warden put him in charge of everything under his care. And he was responsible for all that was done there. Verse 23 said, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success whatever he did. This is powerful. I'm going to tell you, somebody listening to me right now, you've been discouraged. You have been experiencing a setback. The trajectory of your life does not seem to be following the vision, the purpose, and the plan of God that you have seen for your life. And you've been asking God, why am I not moving in the direction of my vision? Why am I going backward instead of forward? But all the while, even though Joseph may not have realized it, and even though you may not realize it, do you realize that God was just positioning Joseph for a seat at the king's table? God was positioning him not only geographically in the land of Egypt, but he was positioning him mentally and spiritually. I've heard the phrase before that as tall as a tree goes, his roots go just as deep. And I believe that God took Joseph to the depths of the prison because he was going to cause him to be promoted and soar higher. I believe that what you're going through right now is preparing you for your dream. What I'm going through is preparing me for my vision. Don't underestimate the power of God to turn your test into a testimony, your mess into a message. I'm telling you, God has not forgotten his promise and his dream. But Jeff, I'm doing everything I know to do. I know you are. So am I. Jeff, I'm doing everything prayerfully. I feel like I'm making the right decisions. Yep, me too. But you know what? Sometimes the trajectory of life is not indicative of the plan where God is taking us. I believe God brings us full circle. So even when you're going in the opposite direction, as long as you're following the mind and the heart of God, even when you feel like your trajectory is in the wrong direction, it's eventually going to come back around and you're going to see your vision come to pass. When God fulfilled Joseph's vision, he was already geographically in the right place. He didn't realize that when his brothers dug the hole that they threw him in, it was going to cause him to be sold to a bunch of nomads traveling by. When he was sold by his brothers as a slave, he didn't realize they were going to take him to Potiphar's house, where he would be the master of all of Potiphar's affairs. He didn't know when he went to Potiphar's house that he was just getting closer to the prison cell he found himself. He didn't know when he was in prison that he was going to meet a servant of the king. Have you ever looked back over your life and seen how God has set things up in your life? Have you ever just reminisced about how things you didn't have any idea how any good was going to come of it, that God used it, that all the while when you thought you were moving in the wrong direction, when it looked like the trajectory of your life was moving in the opposite direction of God's dream and plan and purpose and destiny for you, that all the while God was using every experience as just another vehicle to take you closer to the fulfillment of your dream? That's what God is doing in you. That's what God is doing in me. It's difficult to go through it. Becoming the governor of Egypt was a difficult process for Joseph, because becoming took him into a damp and cold pit, betrayed by his brothers. Becoming put him in a place where temptation and false accusation would smear his name, his reputation. Becoming took him to a prison cell. Becoming, however, eventually landed him in the palace of the king. Your becoming process is difficult. My becoming process is difficult. But I don't believe God wastes experiences. And let me tell you something, even though Joseph walked through this process of becoming, and every bad place, if you will, that he found himself in was not because of his own mistakes, it was because he was betrayed. Can I tell you that God can even use your mistakes to move you closer to the dream and the vision and the provision of God? You may have heard me tell this before. I love to watch T.D. Jakes. I love to watch Stephen Furtick and listen to them, and they are just princes of preachers. And I heard them on a podcast where they were talking to each other, and Bishop Jakes was talking about his book, The Crush. I can't remember the name of the book, but it was about the crushing of the grapes and what comes through the crushing. And Furtick asked him, "Do you think that there's any difference between being crushed by the hand of the Lord or being crushed because of my own insecurities, my own mistakes, my own failures?" And this is what T.D. Jakes says. And this just shot right through me and went to the heart of my process, my thought process. He said, when it comes to crushing, I believe sometimes God uses his hand, but then sometimes he uses mine. That's powerful to me. I don't know about you, but I have made some bad decisions. I have made some mistakes. I have made some missteps that I wish I could go back and change. But God used those things when I submitted them to him as part of the crushing that would bring about the new wine and the oil in my life. I'm telling you, becoming is difficult. But if you want to be what God called you, if you want to be what he's destined you to be, if you want to be, then you have to submit to the becoming. Don't get anxious. Don't get afraid. I know this is easier said than done. I've lived it. I've walked it. It's so easy to get frustrated and disappointed and to question your faith and to question God's faithfulness in the moment, in the heat of the moment. But don't get discouraged. Hold fast to your confession of faith. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it. He will. You will be. Just continue on the journey of becoming. I hope this has encouraged you today as much as it has encouraged me to share it with you. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
We're so glad you joined us today. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and YouTube. For more information, go to jeffwolf.org. Are you one of the 268 million people around the world who are battling anxiety and depression? Jeff's new book addresses this pandemic of the mind. Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America will restore your hope and help you challenge the lies of the enemy in your mind. It's available on Amazon and at mindemic.org. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.